Still Single Stories, Summer Secret. It was 8 p.m. on Sunday, and a text appeared on Summer's phone from Michael. It read, "Come to my house, I'll pick you up." Her mind said just ignore it, then tell him you had an early night tomorrow morning. But her other mind said, he doesn't live that far, and I'll only stay for 2 hours max. Summer never really thought clearly ever since she began seeing Michael. You know the saying, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. She didn't tell anyone about him, not even her closest friend Sean. We're just friends anyway, what's there to tell? But deep down, Summer knew that there was so much to tell, confess, let the cat out of the bag, whatever you want to call it. She used to be someone whose biggest pet peeve was lying. Now she turned into a liar herself. It's funny how one individual can have such a hold on you. Or was it the individual that held her, but her own desires bubbling within her? For so long she kept the lid covered, until one day she couldn't hold it any longer. Why should she suppress it anymore? Where did waiting ever get her? The day was bound to come, a day where she would yield, a day that would ruin all the other days she faithfully waited. She was powerless to fight it. How could she say no to this broad-shouldered, beautiful man right before her? The closer he edged towards her, she knew she'd already lost. It was always the same story with Michael. One date, one very late night, one morning after. Summer liked Michael's company, and he liked her company too. What's the big deal? Guys and girls can be friends. Even as she thought this, she felt foolish. She was lying to herself, since she and Michael were not friends, and never really was. Summer needed his attention. It's difficult being a single woman. All that "I love being single, I don't need a man" mantra can only carry you for so long. She needed male company. She needed to smell musky cologne through a warm embrace that lasted way too long, with hands in places they shouldn't be. She needed someone to get dressed up for. She needed someone to wander around London with. She needed someone to talk about anything and everything, and have everything mean nothing. She met him at the Apple store. He was tall, dark and handsome. The kind of guy that knows they're good looking. Summer found guys like this irritating. She would intentionally not give them the attention that they were used to getting from women. He was very chatty, letting the conversation move away from fixing her phone to pointing out the apps on her phone. And then he slid the question, "What, no dating apps?" with a cheeky little grin. Of which she replied flatly, "No, single and not searching." And he said, "Ouch." Then he handed her phone back to her with his number in her contacts and a pre-drafted text saying, "Let me take you out." When Summer left the store, part of her wanted to delete his number and call it a day. Who did he think he was anyway, flirting with her like that? She was probably sure he did the same to every girl that walked in the store. The other part of her thought entertaining him would be harmless. She did enjoy talking to him, liked that he flirted with her, and was quite flattered by him asking her out. As a woman, she was no stranger to the wrong type of male attention. The roadman that cusses you out when you ignore his advances, or the fob that's twice your age. But this time, she was glad that she got the right male attention, which was rare. Summer spent most of her life single. Her first boyfriend was when she was in year 9. Daniel was what you would call her childhood sweetheart. She met him when she was 10 years old at the park near her house. She was new to the area, so she didn't know anyone and valued his company. He was a bit daring and mischievous. He would spin her around and around on the roundabout and never listen to her when she said stop. She wasn't really interested in him back when they were kids. But once he got older and taller at 15 years old, she began to like him back. He asked her out one day and she said yes. They talk often, meet and hang around a shopping centre on weekends, and sometimes she'd sneak into his house when his mum and sister weren't around. It was funny how things in life always start off really innocent. It starts off good and pure and fun, and then before you know it, you're compromising. She loved being Michael's girlfriend. She liked the feeling of having the title girlfriend, and when he first asked her out, she liked how she felt. She liked that she was someone's. she liked that she felt like she belonged. One day, her nemesis at school blurts out to everyone that Daniel is ugly, and everyone he dates is ugly, and even that girl he's dating that goes to Deptford Girls' School. What other girl? Summer thought. When she confronted Michael, he confirmed it was true. Young love, puppy love, whatever you want to call it, over before it even began. That was Summer's love life. Her story with Daniel could have been her own little South London rom-com, but David had to ruin it. Fast forward now, Summer's 21 years old, back from university, boyfriendless, unengaged, husbandless. The theory of finding your husband at university was sadly not true for everyone. Was God ignoring all her prayers to find a husband? Did God even care? Silence. In some way, she dated Michael to spite God. Her bitterness at being single pushed her into a rebellious relationship with Michael. So she sent him a text after her visit to the Apple store, and they'd been talking and meeting up ever since. She knows he's not the type of guy she'd ever marry. He's good looking for sure, believes in God, but doesn't really go to church very often. Although they've been talking about God a lot lately. He said he started praying again. She couldn't say the same for herself. It was like the moment she let Michael into her life, it was like she walked God out of it. Her heart had changed, and so followed her actions. She'd never been one to lie, not control her passions and carry bitterness. Who was she? She searched deep in her heart, through all the mess. She couldn't clean up her life by her own strength, so she prayed like David, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and let the Spirit take root." Her thoughts were interrupted by the buzz on her phone. It was Michael calling her. Should she pick up?